Good evening. This is Leatherneck Magazine's Andrew Lubin. Tonight we're talking with Major General Ronald Bailey, Commanding Officer of the 1st Marine Division, Camp Pendleton, California. General, thanks for taking the time tonight.
It's a pleasure, Andrew, to have the opportunity to share with you some insight about what's going on in the division and the exercise Steel Knight.
General, you just finished 2 weeks or so Steel Knight about a week ago. What was your take? You had 8,000 Marines spread out over 20 on palms in Camp Pendleton. What's your takeaway on this, starting with perhaps amphibious operations?
Well, the one thing I will say, Andrew, is that, one, we accomplished all of our goals and objectives. Now, there's still room for improvement, but we had the opportunity to train towards some core competencies. And the core competencies I wanted to train towards, number one, was enhance, improve our amphibious operation capability. By working towards that, that gave us an opportunity to train with the Navy. We had LCACs while we were looking and hoping to work with some amphibious ships. We only had the opportunity to work with the LCACs, and that was good in and of itself. But most importantly, it gave us an opportunity to look at all the other aspects that involve amphibious operations. As you know, a very complicated operation, requires good command and control. It requires a staff that's knowledgeable and understand what the requirements are in terms of executing an amphibious operation.
General, the scenario was basically a Pacific assault. How did you, you had 4,000 Marines each in Pendleton and then 20 on Palms, which is quite a distance apart. How did your command and control work out? Were you able to accomplish what you needed here?
Well, I would say the command and control was adequate. We learned some lessons, and when you put a division under canvas and you're working a simulated LFOC, and then you put a division forward out, there's some lessons learned in terms of working digital data, radio, all of those things. But what was important was we maintained the ability to shoot, move, and communicate. So we were able to do that, and while we were crossing some obstacles, we did it effectively, both at Camp Pendleton and also at 29 Palms. We had a battalion, along with the battalion of Singaporeans, conducting the amphibious landing here at Camp Pendleton. And then we had four battalions involved in the operation in 29 Palms, to include the two regimental headquarters, the 5th Marine Regimental Headquarters and the 11th Marine Regimental Headquarters. So we had a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, and we were able to command and control it effectively.
General, this year, I believe for the first time, you had a group from the Pacific. You had the elite Singaporean 3rd Battalion Guardsmen coming to participate. How did they link up with the Marines, and how did that work out?
That worked out extremely well, Andrew. It was a great coincidence that the battalion commander was one of my students when I was the director of the Expeditionary Warfare School. So that was refreshing. But the Singaporean battalion that was with us was very proficient, very, very good. They worked well with our 1st Marine units, 1st Marine Regiment, and with our units throughout the time they were here. We did live fire. We did some offensive operations together and covered a range of small unit level type training for both units. So I was very pleased with that. And for me, and what I've said earlier, the importance there is that you're building relationships, partnership capacity for an operation or a future HADR operation, the potential is there for that. But when you have names and faces that you're familiar with, or you understand the standard operating procedures of each force, then that makes it easier when you're working in a partner, working with a partner nation, or working in a joint or coalition type exercise.
Well, General, with America's new emphasis on the Pacific Rim, and therefore the Marines' emphasis, dedicated emphasis on the Pacific Rim, and the Singaporean CTPs about the similar to the Marines? Would there be any problem working with them in the future? Or do you basically look at things the same way?
Yeah, I don't see any interoperability issues or problems at all in terms of working with the Singaporean military. They're very professional. They're very skilled at the small unit level. As the Singaporean commander said to me during a briefing, was that he gets an opportunity to do things that he could not do in his country because of the scope and capacity of our ranges. We have large ranges. We have the ability to do things that he can't do in terms of fire and maneuver. So that in itself helps not only his force, it also helps us in terms of seeing how they do things and gaining insight on that.
So another sub-story along with the Singaporeans was you had the Tactical Training Exercise Control, PTEG, coming in, working 20 on palms. Was that successful as you transitioned from a handful heavy Viper to a ITX?
Yes, that was extremely successful. One of the things that we were able to do was we were able to help them more or less and ourselves basically see the pros and cons of the ITX, mainly with four maneuver battalions in the 29 Palms area, created some interesting challenges, but it also gave our TTECG exercise coordinators an opportunity to do a sort of a pilot test of what the integrated training exercise is going to be like, some of the shortfalls or some of the obstacles they encounter. But I'll tell you, Andrew, one thing that I found very interesting is that we got back to some core things, the digging in our tracks, digging in our tanks, just working at the small unit level on various exercises, the mobile assault course and things of that nature. So all of that, the TTECG guys were able to help us with and provide insight and also a very good after-action report on how well the units perform.
General, this is the first time in, I believe, 10 years, Steel Knight was a division exercise. Would that be remain a division exercise every year, 2 years? What's the schedule upcoming?
Well, that's always the goal to have at least of mine, and also as we project out the training plan, the future training plan is to have two division level or division size exercises twice a year, and that's the ultimate goal. So we'll have this particular objective was to get back to our core competencies, offensive and defensive operations as a division, the command and control aspect of it. And then we'll continue to work towards our mission essential tasks as we go to a spring exercise. So twice a year we'll have one in spring, one in the fall. And in addition to doing that, it gives us an opportunity to exercise our command and control and work with the aviation in terms of the DAS and all those parts that make up a division fire support coordination cell, and also the things that a division should be able to control when you start talking command and control.